Pondering rebellion. Pondering rebellion. Let's say that together. Pondering rebellion. Are any of you here pondering rebellion? Maybe you are. Simply put, rebellion is opposition to authority. If we want to just put it in a simple phrase, rebellion is opposition to authority, but there's so much more to it. Rebellion can be proactive or passive, if you think about it. It can be by commission or by omission. Rebellion can be doing what you've been directed not to do, or not doing what you've been directed to do. Amen? Both are forms of rebellion. Rebellion can become violent. You're seeing more and more of that in today's day and age. Or it can remain peaceable. Peaceful protests, so to speak. But either way, make no mistake about it, rebellion always begins in the heart. Rebellion always begins in the heart. Rebellion against God's authority was at the root of humanity's first sin in the Garden of Eden. And it continues to be our downfall as humankind to this day. There are times when we give ourselves over to the rebellion of our sinful nature, because our sinful nature doesn't want to bow to the authority of God. That's just the nature of the sinful nature. It doesn't want to bow to the authority of God, let alone to God-ordained human authorities. Yes, you heard me right. There are God-ordained human authorities, and we'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. As born-again devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us, aren't you glad for that, to keep our sinful nature in check. Amen?
Amen.
But how well are we participating with the Holy Spirit in that? Apart from the Holy Spirit in Christ, the rebellion of the sinful nature predominates our lives. We want to be our own boss. And that defiance in the human heart is the root of sinful rebellion, really, when you think about it. How many of you here want to be your own boss? I was my own boss in a healthcare business that I was involved in before I was a pastor, and it's kind of nice to be your own boss. Amen? There's some benefits to that. But I think that it can get out of control, too. Amen? Our sinful nature provides us with the tendency to be in rebellion to God. And in and of ourselves, we all have a tendency to transgress by breaking the laws of God and not subjecting ourselves to God-ordained authority structures. God-ordained authority structures. Let's say that together. God-ordained authority structures. Even as Holy Spirit-filled believers, at times we can find ourselves struggling with submitting ourselves to God's directives. Has anybody struggled at all other than me? With submitting yourself to God's directives, whether it be by His Word in the Bible or by a prophetic word that's come or by the leading of His Spirit. We all struggle at times with submitting ourselves to God's directives. One of the clearest biblical demonstrations of rebellion to God and its consequences is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And this is just one example that the Bible brings forth. 1 Samuel chapter 15 speaks of King Saul. And King Saul was chosen by God to lead Israel, and he got off to a good start. How many of you here have gotten off to a good start in one thing or another, but you didn't finish too well? Anybody here other than me ever be in that position? Yeah. How many of you recognize that what's most important is that you finish well? Amen?
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, King Saul was chosen by God to lead Israel. He got off to a good start. But as time went on in his reign as king, the successes that God had afforded him went to his head. And after a while, he thought he knew better than God what God wanted from him. Anybody here with me ever feel that way? I know what's best for me, God. Hey, you've afforded me with these successes, and these successes, even though you've afforded them to me, are chronicled in my name. And so I think I could make some decisions here. But it went to King Saul's head. And so he disobeyed God's direct instruction. You'll see that in 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. He disobeyed God's direct instruction. And catch this now. He substituted God's directive with his own idea. Let that sink in for a minute. He substituted God's directive with his own idea. How many of you here with me ever done that before? Hey, God, I got an idea. And I think it's better than your directive. Instead of following God's directive to destroy all of the plunder from the enemy's camp, King Saul decided on his own, let's say that together, decided on his own to keep the best of the livestock. And instead of killing the wicked king Agag, as God had commanded him to do, Saul decided on his own, let's say it again, decided on his own to bring him back as a prisoner. Both of these acts in God's eyes were in rebellion against God's orders. But yet Saul was so self-convinced and so pleased with his self-motivated initiative that, catch this now, he tried to justify and offset his disobedience by sacrificing to the Lord the very plunder that God directed him not to take. Sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? Pretty practical. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Rebellion against God's directive authority is a serious matter in God's eyes. Especially when we're trying to justify our disobedience, catch this now, with practical rationalizations. No matter how much we rationalize the practical value of our disobedience, God will confront you in some way or another, and there will be consequences for your rebellion. God will catch up with you. Sometimes it feels like you've gotten away with it, doesn't it? Whew, I think I got away with that one. God's saying, I'm coming. I'm coming for you. In King Saul's situation, God caught up with him through a prophet. The prophet Samuel intervened and confronted him, saying, picking up in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, "Has the Lord as much pleasure in your burnt offerings and sacrifices as in your obedience? Obedience is far better than material sacrifice. He is much more interested in your listening to him than in your offering the fat of rams to him." And catch this now, sobering point. For rebellion against God is as bad as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness against him is as bad as worshiping idols. Whoa. And now, because you have rejected the directive word of Jehovah your God, he has rejected you from being king. Pretty serious consequences there. In this passage of Scripture, King Saul's rebellion flowed out of his pride. And both related sins are equated with witchcraft and paganism. Both related sins are equated with witchcraft and paganism. Think of it. Pretty serious stuff. Does it sound like God is interested in our rationalized justification for disobedience? Because of King Saul's persistent, repeated rebellion against God throughout his reign as king, he lost the throne and his royal dynasty was cut short. Think about that. The fullness of what God had in mind for King Saul was cut short because of his rationalized justification of his persistent, repeated rebellion. Serious stuff. God gave the kingdom over to a shepherd boy, David, who in God's time, let's say that together, in God's time, he would replace Saul. Make no mistake about it. God is patient with us, but his patience does run out when we persist in self-convinced, repeated disobedience. What have you decided on your own to substitute God's directive with your own idea? What justification have you convinced yourself of to offset your disobedience? Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and search our hearts. Find and remove every place of self-justified disobedience that is in us, Lord God Almighty. Holy Spirit, come and do that freeing work in us, Lord God Almighty. Holy Spirit, come. Search the hearts of every person in this place to find and remove every place of self-justified disobedience that is in us. Thank you, Lord. When you look at the nation of Israel, Israel's history is a cycle of rebellion and restoration. But when God gave the Israelites his laws and directives, he was teaching the whole world that the universe has a God-ordained chain of command. Yes. Be reminded afresh today. Human beings are the crown of God's creation. Aren't you glad to know that? But catch this now. We are still to be in subjection to the one true God who created it all. Amen?
Amen.
As born again, Holy Spirit-filled believers, we are not little gods propagating a self-stylized dominion over ourselves. But rather, we are anointed by God's Spirit to submit to His sovereign authority in propagating His Word and perfect will for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we forget that God's in charge, because I think we're going to be in charge. Now, we certainly have the freedom to choose to obey the Lord or not, but His commands and directives will always prevail. Amen?
Amen.
When we decide to rebel against His lordship over our lives, the perfectly just consequences will follow, just as they did with Saul. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in consideration of human civilizations, God has also allowed human governing authorities to keep order. And so rebellion against governing authorities, catch this now, rebellion against governing authorities that God has allowed to be established is unacceptable in God's eyes. Let that sink in for a minute. Rebellion against the very governing authorities that God has allowed to be established is unacceptable in God's eyes. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7 instructs us along these lines. The Apostle Paul, speaking to believers in the Roman church then, God by His Spirit speaking to us today, to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. And catch this now, as long as those authorities do not require us to disobey the authority of God. Amen?
Amen.
Submit ourselves to the governing authorities, as long as those authorities do not require us to disobey the authority of God. Rebellion against governing authority leads to anarchy and the eventual dismantling of civil society. And so, as born-again Christians, God has ordained, catch this now, that we obey the laws of the land. obey the laws of the land. Let's say that together. Obey the laws of the land. 45 miles an hour? That's not fast enough. Well, you might get away with it for a little while. We are to obey the governments in everything. In everything, let's say that together. In everything, pay your taxes, obey the rules that are set forth by federal and state laws. And doing so, catch this now, in a manner that is respectful in our representation of Christ. Amen? Amen. We're ambassadors for Christ first. Amen? Amen? We are to obey the laws of the land set forth by federal and state laws. And doing so in a respectful manner in our representation of Christ. If we don't, then we are ultimately showing disrespect towards God. For He is the one in His sovereign providence who has allowed that government to be over us. Amen? Now, to give us some motivation in submitting ourselves respectfully to governing authorities, consider the context of Paul's instruction to the Romans. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Rome about submitting to the government, they were under the governmental authority of Rome during the reign of Emperor Nero, who was one of the most evil of all the Roman emperors. He was best known for his self-indulgent excesses. He was best known for his political murders and for persecution of Christians. But Paul still recognized the Roman government's governing authority over him as a Roman citizen. And so how can we, living in such a free nation, do anything less as a citizen of the United States of America? Amen?
Amen?
All that being said, there are certain times, let's say that together, certain times that as born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, catch this now, that we should intentionally disobey man-made laws. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 41 gives us an example of this in principle. Having brought the apostles in, they made them appear before the legal authorities to be questioned. They said, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in Jesus' name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Catch this now. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God before human authority." Yes. Amen?
Amen?
In principle, this is an example that as long as the man-made law does not contradict the law of God, then we are bound to obey the law of the land. Amen? But as soon as the man-made law contradicts God's command, then we are to disobey the law of the land and obey God's law. Amen?
Amen?
Regardless of what the consequences may end up being. But even when we choose to obey God's law over man-made laws, catch this now, we are still subject to whatever consequences the governing authority will bring to bear upon us. Let that settle in for a minute. Even when we choose to obey God's law over man-made laws, we're still going to be subject to whatever consequences the governing authority will bring to bear upon us. This is demonstrated in verses 40 to 42 of Acts chapter 5 by the fact that Peter and John, catch this now, Peter and John did not protest or resist being flogged as a consequence for their disobeying man-made laws. Isn't that amazing? They didn't protest or resist being flogged as a consequence for their disobeying man-made laws. But catch this now, instead, they rejoiced. I don't know about you, but I think I would have had a hard time rejoicing. They rejoice that they had suffered at the hand of governing authorities for obeying God's directive first. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
How willing would we be to joyfully suffer the punishment of governing authorities for the sake of Christ? Brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world and other countries are faced with this every day as a day in and day out thing. God has also ordained a governing authority structure for families in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. In the home, God's chain of authority is that the husband is to be the spiritual head of the household. The husband's responsibility, catch this now, is to lead his family by example. By example, let's say that together. By example in submitting to Christ. You can see that in Ephesians 5, verse 23. The husband is to follow the sacrificial love example of Jesus Christ for his bride, the church. Amen?
Amen.
Sacrificial love. Sacrificial love, let's say that together. Sacrificial love demonstrated in the life of a godly husband. And the wife is to submit to her husband, according to Ephesians 5:22. Catch this now. Just as the church submits to Christ. And the children are to submit to their parents in the Lord, according to Ephesians 6, verse 1. But catch this now. The basis for the God-ordained governing structure for families flows out of a mutual reverence for Christ. Amen? If everyone, husband, wife, and children, have in mind to reverence Christ, then there's going to be a mutual submission. Amen? Hallelujah. Be cautioned and motivated afresh today that rebellion against the God-ordained familial authority structure leads to relational dysfunction and discord within the home. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, encourages us along these lines from Psalm 127, verse 1. Make a note of it. Psalm 127, verse 1. That unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's work becomes useless. Within the church fellowship, God has put in place a theocracy as a governing structure, with Jesus as the chief shepherd. You can see that in 1 Peter 5:4. And He has gifted and appointed pastors and other fivefold ministry gifted leaders to be the under-shepherds to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You can see that in Ephesians 4:11 and Hebrews 13:17. The purpose of the gifted and appointed pastors and fivefold ministry leaders is to equip the saints to do the work of advancing Jesus' kingdom purposes. Amen?
Amen.
Spiritual overseers who shepherd and keep watch over the unity, purity, growth, and development of the congregation. Amen?
Amen.
Be motivated afresh today that the spiritual leaders and overseers of the church fellowship are to be submitted to by each member of the church fellowship in Christ. As much as is healthy for the church and the individual submitting to them, and catch this now, in accordance with the standard of God's Word and in consideration of repeating patterns of behavior that are either praiseworthy or blameworthy. Amen?
Amen.
Rebellion within the church fellowship leads to division and strife and a loss of effectiveness in carrying out Jesus' kingdom purposes. Make no mistake about it. Every human heart has the potential for rebellion. We are poised in and of ourselves to fight for our human rights. There's a lot of that going on. whenever we feel that someone is infringing upon our perceived rights in this world that we're living in. But rather than being rebellious or activating a rebellion, catch this now, we can appeal to the authorities that are over us with godly insights offered in a respectful way that would bring about a productive resolution to the contention at hand. Amen?
Amen.
I was reminded of an example of this, and I'm just going to encourage you to go in and look into it yourself in the book of Daniel and just read chapter 1 and chapter 3 of Daniel this week, and you'll see how Daniel and his comrades operated in the face of man-made laws that were against God's laws and how they handled that and what the outcome was. Check it out this week for yourselves. Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 3. There are times when obedience to God's commands first will require us to challenge and even oppose man-made laws. But be cautioned afresh today, saints of God. Unrestrained, self-serving, self-satisfying rebellion against any God-ordained authority structure is disapproved of in His sight. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the Word of the Lord has come to you today.